Welcome to the In Your 20s podcast, where we figure out what the f- we're doing in our 20s. What's up, guys? It's your girl Tina with an HVAC with another episode of In Your 20s. I hope you're all having a lovely Wednesday or whenever you're listening to this episode. So today, I am so excited because I have the host of Ghosts of Dates podcast, Liana Pavane, on the show. During this episode, Liana and I are talking about everything to do with dating, love bombing, you name it, we're talking about it. And as you can tell by the episode's title, we're also discussing what it means to have a self-ship. If you have no idea what a self-ship is, do not worry because we talk about it in the episode. Liana was great. She's also the founder of TTYL, which is an event that's being hosted in New York, but who knows, maybe it'll expand, where you can meet people in real life, where you put away the phones and have an actual connection with them. Or granted, you can have a connection with someone with phones, but you get what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Liana was great to have on the show. I'm so thankful to have her. And I'm going to be on her podcast very soon, so be on the lookout for that. So without further ado, let's get into it. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tina. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We have so much to cover in terms of dating, self-ships. So to get us started, how old are you and what's a random fun fact you've learned in your 20s so far?
Yeah, I am 26. Random fact I have learned, more so advice than I guess a fun fact, but that you have to be your own best friend and that you create the voice in your head. And you are living with yourself every day, so make it a place that you are happy to wake up to every day.
I love that. It hits back onto the point that I've been trying to reiterate again and again on the podcast. You know, sometimes you just have to take away that outside noise. And there are some people who are afraid of being alone, which is okay. It's a fearful thing. But once you start to get comfortable and you take baby steps, finding those little pockets of alone time, I promise you guys, you just find so much more clarity in your life.
Totally. And I think it's just a big part of it is finding things that bring you joy and reconnecting to your inner child is a big part of it too. Because I think as we grow up, we think that, oh, we don't have time for play anymore. We don't have time to, you know, just enjoy life and just be a human. And we always have to be doing something. That's one of my favorite quotes is, you're a human being, not a human doing. Just remembering that a state of being, just a stasis, you know, just sitting and being in a space and time and just experiencing whatever you're feeling versus continuously pushing it away with actions and activities and things like that. And while those things are great and you should find things in your life that make you happy and bring you joy and get you excited, it's so important to also have that downtime and have that kind of, you know, I think a lot of people would say, especially with people who are extroverts, like I consider myself an extrovert, but after 3-4 days in a row of seeing people, I myself need downtime. I need to decompress. So whatever that decompression space means for you is super important.
That is a great quote. Human beings, not human doings. As someone who is also an extrovert, I love to stay busy. And when we have like my weekends, if it's not jam-packed with things, I feel like I've wasted time. I could be seeing friends that I haven't talked to in a while. I could be getting ahead on the podcast. I could be socializing. I could be visiting my parents. I'm just always thinking of how am I going to fill this time when I really should just be saying to myself, hey, you've got free time this weekend. Just relax.
Yeah, I think that's been a huge thing for me too. And I mean, I know you understand being an entrepreneur as someone who is always striving for something more and your business kind of becomes your hobby and kind of becomes your project, your life. Like if you're chilling, like you feel guilty for not doing more work. And not only for entrepreneurs, I think that's something in your 20s that you really struggle with is like, you want to further your career so much and we're so career centric, especially in New York City. And so it can be really hard to actually say, girl, you deserve this. You deserve to actually binge your Netflix show for 2-3 hours or read your book or whatever it is. And we feel like the inevitable burning the candle at both ends. But at the end of the day, that is just going to leave us exhausted, burnt out super fast, and we're not even going to have energy for any of the work. So really, relaxation is productivity, but we are not taught that. I think that's another thing. We're not taught that, oh, actually, you know, sitting on your couch or reading your book or doing all these things you did as a kid, like that's actually healthy and a good part of life.
Yep. And it just goes back to like how we have such a money-centric society. I keep constantly saying it. Being now in my 20s, I've got a stable job, a job that I see as being stable because everyone's still watching shows. But I look back onto my childhood and how I grew up, the way that I was spending money before and how I'm spending money now. And then I like talk to my parents and they're like, Tina, this is so expensive. Why are you buying a $30 shirt? And in my head, I'm like, no, it's not expensive. I can afford it. But it's because I was always in that scarcity mindset of like, I can't have everything that I want. Like I have to be very frugal. But now it's this weird cycle because now I'm going back to thinking to myself, why am I spending $30 on a t-shirt when I've got so many clothes? I don't need this item. I don't need to spend this money on a dinner. In New York, Hoboken area, it's just so expensive. So literally I need an accountant, but that would require money. So I'm all over the place. But speaking of entrepreneurship and how we do need to take time, you founded TTYL back in 2018, is it?
That's when I kind of started like culminating the idea sort of and launched the pop-up part of it in 2019. So like that was really when it came to fruition, I guess.
Tell us a little bit more about it because as I was reading, it's a tech-free company dedicated to human connection. So when I think of tech-free, I'm thinking, okay, there's no phones, there's no computers. How the fuck am I going to communicate with anyone?
Yeah, so tech-free community. And basically what I was doing is hosting these pop-up events in New York City. And I take your phone at the door. Yeah, I know everyone's probably like, this is where I end the podcast now. But I promise it's worth it. People who come in and are the most fearful of giving up their phone are the ones that forget it at the end. It's hilarious. Happens every time. And I have board games, coloring, and Play-Doh laid out. So you replace your phone with your favorite nostalgic childhood activity. You grab a boozy beverage or a non-boozy beverage because super inclusive over here. Whatever floats your boat in that moment, there'll be snacks and things like that. And then basically the whole night is just mingling with new people. I encourage you to come by yourself. It was kind of a free-for-all format beforehand. I started kind of adding in activations here and there. Tarot card readers have been tried and true. So I'll have one of those at the corner. I've had singers and comedians. I did a dating event with sex relationship coach at the beginning of 2020 before the pandemic. And then obviously I had to put it on pause. So now I'm gearing up to relaunch with more of a focus on singles nights and friends nights. So yeah, I think your listeners would love it, up their alley, and something that I think a lot of people are just searching for in their 20s because, at least for me, I'm sick of the dating apps. All my friends have talked about this. We don't know where to meet people. That isn't a bar scene. When we go out, if we're at a bar and we meet people, it's usually like not a genuine connection or a long-lasting connection. And it can be frustrating because I'm much more prone to just like put myself out there and say hi to everyone. Like I've literally said hi to people in random places in New York City. I met someone on the subway. I literally like don't give a shit. Like if someone seems interesting, I'm going to say hi. But a lot of people don't feel comfortable doing that. So creating an environment where people are coming in like-minded, it's not speed dating, but it's also not a free-for-all. There is structure to my events, but it's like more lax and really encourages you to kind of like, there's a lot of resets of the room so that you feel comfortable like approaching other people kind of because you have to in more of a gamified like conversation starter sense. I don't want to give everything away, but yeah, just come check it out.
It really goes back to what you were saying earlier about bringing out your inner child. Because when you said Play-Doh and whatnot, I literally thought back to when was the last time I used Play-Doh. And I think it might have been middle school. But it's just going back to your roots of like, this is what I used to find being fun. So to go there, and you also said that you encourage people to go alone. Going alone to events, I swear it's still such a taboo topic.
It is. It is. And that's something that, so I was actually doing this. I started going on what I called solo dates back in, I guess it was like probably 2018, 2019, a couple years after I graduated college. And I just took myself out. Every week I would go somewhere different. Like I went to concerts by myself. I went to comedy shows by myself. I would go to dinner by myself. Sometimes it was whatever I needed that week to kind of reconnect. And it was such an important time. Like I allocated, you know, 3-4 hours just for me once a week and wasn't on my phone, like put my phone away. You know, I would use it for like navigation if I needed to. But then it was like, no, we're really immersing in this experience. It was, yeah, it was a great test to myself and also just, yeah, kind of a challenge and also just a really good way to check in with myself on a weekly basis. And so with my events, it's kind of, if everyone's coming alone, everyone's in the same boat. And if everyone is putting their phone away, everyone's in the same boat. I'm putting everyone on the same playing field, on the same playing ground. And I think people feel a lot more comfortable. Like obviously certain people do bring friends or they'll come back and bring a friend the next time and things like that. I started seeing repeat people, but it was definitely just such a beautiful thing. Like, oh my gosh, I just met someone I've never met before. And like, they then went off and like grabbed dinner after the event or something like that. And it was just this very natural way to meet people because everyone's feeling that way. And then if you did bring a friend, like let's say you just, you know, you feel comfortable like having someone else there.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be talking to one another at the event. Like you're going to be separated because that's the whole point. Like you're coming to meet new people. You're not coming to spend time with people you hang out with on a regular basis.
Yeah. How long do these events usually last?
Anywhere between 2-2.5 hours is usually like the sweet spot. But yeah, sometimes it's 3, but it's really just dependent on the space and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, typically around that like 2-2.5 hour mark, there's time for like activities in the beginning and you to go off and do all these activations. You know, there's like little stations set up throughout so you can kind of go up and try like a snack or do a taste testing thing with this drink. And then you can go and, you know, get your future read, or maybe there's like a musical interlude or something like that. So there's always like fun surprise and delights that will happen.
Cool. And just to clarify, you don't have to be single to go. It's pretty much for everyone.
Correct. So specifically moving forward, I'm going to be having like specific events for singles and then also for friends, because beforehand it was just an open community for whoever. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep it that way. So it'll kind of, what I'm thinking is every other month it's going to switch off to start. And then, you know, if it's like coming back and everyone's like, I'm loving this, like I'll bring more events in every month and kind of have both. But yeah, to start, it'll kind of switch off.
Girl, you are doing so much. You are working a full time. You have this, which I'm totally going to the next one. And also you've got a whole ass podcast. So when did the podcast come into the mix?
Yeah, so launched the podcast around Valentine's Day 2021. That was also a big cultivator for me to decide on these more single-centric events with TTYL. So it kind of allowed me to intermingle my projects because I was thinking to myself, okay, I have these two entities and they don't really mesh. It doesn't really make sense right now. But the through line, I think, was always the interest that I had with technology and specifically with the podcast, since it's about dating, there's so much with dating and technology to discuss. And especially when it comes to communication, and my podcast is really just about being authentic, communication, honesty, vulnerability, all of those things. I don't get into sex as much. It's really just about those beginning conversations and kind of the initial dating someone and different kinds of stories that people go through. Maybe it's someone coming on the podcast talking about non-monogamy and what that means. You know, I interviewed someone who was incarcerated. So incarceration dating, like things we don't discuss, or people that aren't as, yeah, just their stories aren't told in our society on a daily basis. And so I wanted to really break those stigmas down. And then we do these first date stories. So it's called Ghosts of Dates Past. And we do first date horror stories and best first date stories. And then in between, we just have some Q&A and talk about all these different things. And yeah, I mean, I was inspired obviously from my own experience, I always wanted to have a podcast, was kind of looking for something creative to do during the pandemic. And my ex broke up with me over the phone, which sucked, obviously, super painful. But from that experience, I then dated like anyone else would do. And that was then ghosted by so many people. So fun. So I realized that I really needed to focus on figuring out what I wanted, what I needed, what I desired, what my boundaries were, non-negotiables, all that kind of stuff in a relationship. And also for myself, because I think all of us just really lost a lot of ourselves, lost sight of ourselves during the pandemic. I needed to reconnect to myself, and my solo dates were no longer available to me because the world was literally shut down. So how can I recreate that inside my apartment?
Yeah. See, and you recently reached 50 episodes. So congratulations. That's such a big milestone. And I was listening to one of the episodes. Actually, it was the 50th one, because I was like, ooh, it's a solo. I want to hear this. And we've got to talk about this guy, the guy that broke up with you over the phone. It was a complete blindside. And it also didn't start off on the right foot, because wasn't he also love bombing you?
Yeah. So that's something I didn't know what this concept meant. I didn't know what love bombing was prior. This was also my first like official boyfriend, I guess you can say. I've had many like short relationships, but I didn't know a lot of the terminology or signs to look out for. You know, I think for me at that point in my life, 2.5, whatever years ago, it was like, I wanted to check that box off my list so badly.
That you had a boyfriend.
Correct. I just felt like I was missing out on something, or I didn't have this experience, and it frustrated me. And so when the opportunity came, it was kind of a no-brainer, but obviously there were red flags and things that I was ignoring. So looking back, the biggest indicator for the love bomb situation, it was about 2 months or so into dating this person. We had this really romantic time. We actually got one of those like hotel tonight things. I don't know if you've heard of that. Yeah. So we did that a couple times. Yeah. Like we did really cute things. And honestly, it was funny because this dude actually that I was hanging out with the other night asked me what my worst relationship was. And I realized that this wasn't the worst one, which was very interesting.
Oh,
I know. Because overall, I have to say, reflecting in that moment, I realized that, yeah, this person did and said things that were not okay. But overall, like I have a lot of great memories with that person. They weren't a terrible person. I think they were just in a bad place. And there were literally the red flag was screaming the night that all this went down. So we went out to dinner. You know, we got to this hotel, we go out to dinner. The conversation of where we're going comes up, or like relationship. And he mentions his mental health issues, which he hadn't brought up before. And he mentioned that he's been focusing on himself for a while. He's been in a bunch of relationships. He's not sure he's at the right place for one. Like he's dealt with depression and anxiety. And like, you know, I didn't know any of this prior, but all I could hear was, oh, where our relationship is going. And it wasn't like, that's not a red flag for me. I'm not saying the mental health stuff. It's more that he's literally saying to me that he's not sure he's ready. And it's like, me now would have been like, hey, I really like spending time with you, and I want to see where this goes, but I also want to make sure that you are in the right place for another step in our relationship. If you're not, that's fine. We can keep hanging out. We can keep dating, but I also am looking for that. So if that's not something that you can offer me at this time, we should part ways now before either of us gets hurt further. And that's something that I just didn't understand or wouldn't have said at that point in my life, because again, I was thinking about myself and what I wanted. And a partnership means both people and what is best for both. So anyway, we get back to the hotel, and this is literally maybe, oh no, we went to a bar. I think we went to like Alligator Lounge or something in Williamsburg. And then we got back to the hotel. I don't know, it's like 2 hours after this conversation or something. And he, in the same like sentence, basically is like, I love you and I want you to be my girlfriend.
Oh, and my fucking goodness.
Yeah. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, or maybe the next morning, he said something like, I could totally see us living together in 2 years.
Oh, no. And living together?
Yeah.
Can I ask, how long did you know this guy?
So yeah, this was maybe 2.5 months of dating.
Oh, I mean, granted, I'm feel like, you know, relationships can progress that fast, but also all within, I love you, let's date, let's move in together. Boy, what the fuck? That is so many things at once.
I know.
But you were probably on top of like cloud nine.
Right, because I had no idea that this was something bad to look out for. Prior to this, I dated a lot of guys who were super avoidant. What my experience was, oh, we should go here, we should do this together, and then it would never happen. And it was your actions speak louder than words. It was actually, I'm watching the new season of Love is Blind. It was one of the girls, she said the most profound thing. She was like, I trust your word, but I need to see it in action. And I thought that, I was like, yeah. Girl, that was so on point. I'm like, okay, there's some moments in the show that aren't all fluff, but it's so true. That was my experience. It was, okay, them kind of beating around the bush about feelings and like not moving to the next step. And like, if I brought up like what's going on or like, I really like you, it was like, oh, I like you too. And then pull away. So for him to say that first and put himself out there first to me was like, oh my God, like I broke my spell kind of thing. Like I found someone who was interested in me and said it to me first.
Because it's like you weren't getting that beforehand. So to finally have it, and that's also because you did want this label and you did want this partnership because you were ready. It was like, oh my gosh, this is a match made in heaven. And I can only imagine you being in your head, because I do this exact same thing. Now I'm thinking about the future. I'm like, wow, like we're going to date for X amount of months or years, and then it's going to be a proposal. Like you're already planning out the entire relationship within this time frame.
Totally. And I think that's such a female thing to do, but it's the male problem that they literally put that in our head. I was talking to the same guy. Like I was saying, talking about weddings and stuff. And I'm like, I have never once pictured my wedding. I can't picture my husband or like future life with someone. I try so hard to live in the moment. I'm like, I know what ring I want and I know what dress I want, but I can't picture anything else. I can't picture like a life with someone and what that would look like, because I don't know if maybe I've met that person yet and they're going to circle back into my life, or I'm just not at that place in my life where I'm focusing on that. I just want to focusing on my career. I'm focusing on my projects. I'm focusing on having healthy and happy relationships with my friends and meeting genuine people to connect with and see where it goes. I'm not seeing it as, okay, the next person I date could be the person I'm marrying. And I mean, that's also, I think, a very New York attitude as well, because there are people in the South that are like, if I lived in Texas, Dallas or something at 26, it would be so weird that I wouldn't be married or engaged.
It's literally just the culture of where you live and the landscape, because I see people from my hometown that are getting married now, that are having children. Granted, I'm from South Jersey. It's not like I'm down south in Alabama or something, but it's still so funny. She's going to kill me for saying this on the podcast, but my roommate and I, because we've both been single our entire lives, like, yeah, there have been guys that have come and gone, but we've never labeled someone as our boyfriend. We always joke, oh my gosh, the next person that we're with is going to have to be our husband, because it's like we both had these timelines in our heads of where we wanted our lives to be. And that's, I think, another female thing that we constantly do. And I mean, also, we do have a little bit of a biological clock when it comes to if we want children. But we've noticed that we keep saying it, and now we're trying to dismantle that thought in our head, because no, we should just be dating to date, dating to see if the right person is going to come along. Does that mean that, you know, I might not possibly marry the first guy I call my boyfriend? I don't know, but I'm not trying to now grab for it or search for it, because you just gotta let life flow. But with all of this being said and all of these experiences and with that guy, how did you get to this destination of coining the term self-ship?
Yes.
Because that is like everywhere on your website, when you listen to your podcast, you are the queen of self-ships.
I love it. I think it really went back to just that whole experience going through that breakup, then losing sight of myself a lot, dating a lot of shitty guys, being ghosted numerous times back to back to back. And I was actually out with a friend. We went for a walk talking about dating and stuff like that. And he said to me, he said, if dating isn't fun for you right now, no one is telling you that you have to do it. And I think it was the first time that I realized, because I love to date. I love going on dates. I'm just one of those people. People are like, oh, I hate dating. I just like want to find my person. I'm like, I love the thrill. I love getting ready. I love, you know, meeting new people, the firsts and experiences with someone, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it just is something that really excites me. And it wasn't until he said that I realized it was such a, not only that I enjoy it, but also feels like a societal pressure to not be single, to be dating actively, to find a relationship.
Yeah.
And so once I thought about that, I just remembered all the things that I did for myself when I took myself out on these dates. And, you know, I'd lost that over the pandemic. And so I really wanted to bring that back. And I deleted the dating apps, what I call went cold turkey, deleted the dating app, just said, okay, I'm not looking. And even if I got the opportunity to connect with someone, I'm not going to say yes. I'm not dating for X amount of period of time.
You're not going to say yes. That's a complete 180 from the guy that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing. Like he said, hey, I love you and I want to move in. They want to move in together.
Yeah. I mean, this was maybe, I don't know, maybe like 6 months after that.
I also forgot to ask, how was the timeline? So from the I love you to the breakup over the phone, what was that?
He said, I love you. I think that was in January 2020, something around there. The pandemic happened, remember, in like middle of March. From March like 15th to May something, I think, or like almost May, like end of April, we didn't see each other. So we were separated for like 7 weeks. We did like long distance, if you can call it that. He came and picked me up. I met his parents and his friends and everything, drove me to meet my parents, and then 5 days later called me.
No.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he just, I mean, I bet you've asked yourself this question a bunch, but why would he do all of that?
Yep.
Just to break up after 5 weeks? And why weren't you guys seeing each other? Were you both not in the city?
So we were both just quarantining separately. So he went to his parents and no one knew, you know, how you can get it or how bad it was. So I went with some friends to her country house. We were both actually in New Jersey because that's where he's from as well. But we were just on opposite sides. We were like 3 hours away from each other, 2.5 hours, something like that.
I mean, Jersey's a lot bigger than people think.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I can believe 3 hours.
It is. So yeah, I was at a country house with my best friend, her brother and his girlfriend. And it was super, like I had a blast. But then for him to like come and take me away from that experience. Yeah, he should have come. Yeah, he's the one with the car. He drives, he comes. He's like, hey, I want to have a conversation. Do it in person. Like, let's take a walk. Let's talk about what's going on, his thoughts and feelings. And like, I'd much rather have gone through a breakup after that and then had three supporting people waiting for me in a lovely house than going through a whole experience of feeling like he was using me. And then just saying to me, he did say this to me, that he'd been thinking about it for a while. So he already knew and literally still came and had went through the whole to-do, the introductions, the like me really thinking like, do I fit in with this family? Do I fit in with his friends? Which like I did not. And so I think that was like a big indicator for me. I was like, okay, I'm either going to have to really try and fit in with these people or I don't.
Yeah. And I think before that phone call was a thing, you were willing to try.
Yeah.
Because it's a big step. To meet friends is one thing. To meet family, it's a whole other thing.
Totally.
How long was the phone call, if you remember? Just out of curiosity.
I think it was 20 minutes, but I literally was just hysterically crying for most of it. And it was something I realized looking back on that relationship was that I felt a lot more lust than love for this person. And I think that totally makes sense. And I feel like he did too. But we never really realized it. So I did say it back to him, but like I felt pressured to say it back. The reason that I felt so like hysterically crying was it was such a shock and it came out of nowhere. It's like if your best friend called you or like someone you've been hanging out with 6 months, a year, like something like that. And they were like, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Just like out of the blue. You know, I have plenty of friends where I'm like, I don't know if I love them, but like, I'd be pretty upset if they did that, you know, and you just be like hysterical. So it's the same kind of feeling. And for me, yeah, it was like such a blow. Like, yeah, of course I've been rejected, but I'd never been rejected in such an impersonal and uncompassionate way. That was the most painful thing. And that's where the pain came from. And not understanding, he also did not have an explanation. Like, that was the hardest thing to go through, was just, I needed to find my own closure.
Closure, the big word, the big, big word. I'm definitely a closure person, so to speak. I want you to give me every single detail as to why we're not going to work out, which, as I said, that sounded very evil. It's just because I don't want to leave the conversation in the unknown, but I'm finding more and more times with the more people I talk to that closure is just this other thing that society created that we're never going to get. You have to reach it on your own terms. You have to find a way to be okay and weed through all of these emotions that you're feeling of like, this was so impersonal. I deserve better. Why aren't they into me anymore? Because you have to go through so many insecurities in order to come out on the other side stronger than before. But it's still, regardless, a completely shitty situation. I cannot believe he did over a phone call when he saw you 5 days before.
It's insane. It's insane. But it was the seed to the podcast. It was the seed to my healing process. And so much, I think I realized a lot about myself from that relationship and just so much of what I don't want. I've realized the biggest gift that you can get from a relationship is what you don't want. Because it just narrows down your search more and it sets your standards higher. It's like, okay, all of that, never again. I think it's and this has happened to me many times where I've been presented by similar sorts of people time and time again in my life. They'll pop up. And it's like the universe is saying, here you go. You can go back to the familiar. You can go back to your pattern. But you have tools now. You are stronger than you were before. And you have the option to say, no, thank you, fuck off, bye, and walk away. And when that's happened to me, it's just been I feel so powerful in those moments where I'm like, wow, I've learned so much and I'm so much stronger. My inner voice is so sure when it wasn't back then. And so, you know, it took me a long time to gain my confidence back after that experience too. But yeah, I think going into more of the self-ship, just a lot of what I did during that time, you know, I started therapy for the first time and I basically created these solo experiences in my apartment. So I just made a space for myself. I moved into this apartment, first time living alone. And so I literally, the first night I think I was in this apartment, I wrote a list of my own boundaries for myself, like what I wanted to bring into the space, what energy, like simple things from like, put your dishes in the dishwasher after you eat, because like, you'll feel better at the end of the day. But like, also play upbeat music, have dance parties. And if you're feeling intense at any moment, journal out your feelings and emotions, and like, don't wait for that to happen, you know, things like that. And every day I was just, you know, I was having dance parties, I was journaling, I was reading books, you know, combination of self-help and fiction, and just immersing myself into stories and experiences. I was doing puzzles. I was just like all these kind of back to that point of inner child. I was really reconnecting to her and giving her a voice when she'd been so depleted for so long because of all these adult things that get thrown on her shoulders. And I really just wanted to just shine light on the things that brought me joy and happiness, because I felt like I lost sight of that. And so that's where the self-ship idea was really born.
That's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. You almost made me tear up there for a second. I'm not going to lie. Because it's so nice to hear people when they have come into their own person and they've gone through these hardships and these really difficult emotional times, and they come out brighter and stronger on the other side. For people who are in this limbo of, I don't know myself, or I feel disconnected to myself, what are some steps they can do to start their own self-ship?
Yeah, I think something little every day you can do. So pick whatever that means to you, right? I think I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. Like, everyone is different and everyone connects themselves in different ways. So if you are a person that really likes to move your body, do something that maybe you haven't done in a while. Like, I grew up as a dancer, but I hadn't really danced for fun in so long. And so, like, if you want, like, put on your three favorite songs and just, like, dance for 10 minutes every day. Or maybe you really like to go for runs. So, like, utilize any park or a hike or something. Like, utilize the nature you have around you. If you do, if you don't, you know, just going for a walk just for 10, 15 minutes every day. Like, starting small. Maybe you want to do yoga, things like that. Or maybe you just really want to pick up a hobby. Like, maybe it's, oh, I lost sight of practicing this language or this instrument or something like that. So maybe that's part of your self-ship. Maybe it's using your voice, you know, like singing or talking out loud. Like, a big thing that I started implementing was, like, talking to myself in the mirror. If you guys have seen Insecure, kind of having an Issa Rae moment and just being a little awkward and weird, but hyping myself up. And that's helped me in, you know, before anything scary or like first dates or even when I'm not feeling super great that day. Like, I will be cleaning. I did this once. Like, I was cleaning my apartment. I had 80s music blasting and I was like talking to myself the whole time. Like, these are the things you love about your life. Like, you love your apartment. You have a great job. You're awesome. You're beautiful. Like, all this stuff. And you just repeat that until you really mean it. And it feels weird at first, but it will help your confidence. So there's like so many different tips I can give. But yeah, that's kind of gives everyone a snippet, an idea of where to start.
That's amazing. Liana, you have been so much fun to have on the show. I kind of don't want this combo to end. For timing, if there's anything that we didn't get to on today's episode, or if there's a piece of advice that you could share with the In Your 20s community, now's the time to do it.
Awesome. I mean, I guess I'll just end with where you can find me and learn more about me. I think that'll give everyone more of an idea of my work. And obviously, yeah, feel free to ask me any questions in my DMs or email or whatever. Sign up for the newsletter. So you can go to lianapavane.com, LIANAPAVANE. And that's my new site that just launched about a month ago. So it houses all my projects.
Congrats.
And it's really, thank you. Yeah, it's just a one-stop shop. So it'll lead you to the TTYL stuff and my podcast and everything. And then on Instagram at Liana Colada, on Instagram, like Pina Colada. So I post a lot of, I've been doing a lot more reels and stuff there, which has been really fun. I'm actually posting about ghosting and finding closure there today. So yeah, definitely some fun tips and tricks there as well.
Cool. Guys, we're going to have all of Liana's links and whatnot in the show notes. So make sure you go scroll and leave a review for this episode and then head right on over to Ghost of Dates podcast, listen to Liana's pod, support her, follow her on Instagram, do all of that great stuff. Liana, thank you so much again for coming on the podcast. It really does mean a lot. And guys, I'm going to be going on her, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of In Your 20s. My name is Tina with an H, and I'll catch you next Wednesday, bitches.
Bye.